guess I'll just. We'll start a little early. I'm going to call to order meeting for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District for Wednesday, February 1st, 2017. Maybe have a roll call, please.
So Ms. Simpson is ill tonight, so I will be stepping in for her today with your indulgence. Director Austin.
Here.
Director Hill.
Here.
Director Schultz.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please stand with us for a Pledge of Allegiance. Jim, will you lead us tonight?
In radiant salute, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, at this point, we are going to review the order of the agenda as presented by staff. Do any board members want to change the order of the agenda?
No.
No? Okay. Then we'll proceed with the agenda as presented by staff. Let's move into our public comments tonight. This is an opportunity for any member of the community to address the board or any items that are not on the agenda. Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I would like to speak to some items that are not on the agenda. There actually is one small reference to the Wallace issue and the press release and what the district attorney is up to with that. I think there maybe should have been a more formal report out of your district. The reading that press release and the news coverage over it had me scratching my head and wanting to go back and look at some older records. So I went to your new website, and I found that the audio tapes are not on the new website. The audio tapes that had been on the previous site had been there for years. I'm saying like maybe close to 10 years worth of meeting tapes. Every meeting uploaded to your website did not transfer over in the change of to the new website. And I think that smells really bad, but maybe that can be fixed. I hope it is. I did a public records request for the legal bills associated with Liebert Cassidy Whitmore and for their contract. I found that the contract was entered into in June. It was retroactive to May, yet charges or work did not commence until August. So I'm kind of curious, what was the impetus to bring that firm on board? Your board never considered bringing that firm on board. It was brought on by your legal counsel and your administrator. And it has me wondering, with the administrator only being on the job a month from the commencement date of the contract, what was going on at that time that special counsel needed to be engaged? And Liebert Cassidy Whitmore, as you know, bills ranged in the $40,000 range between August and December, and I think your ratepayers are owed an explanation of why they were brought on so soon, unless there was some anticipation that there was something going to happen, and clearly something happened. So I would like your board to look into that.
Is anyone else?
Patty Welsh, Arroyo Grande. As a resident of Arroyo Grande, I am not pleased with the actions of Mr. Hill, who sits on this board. Mr. Hill, I have proof, which I just gave you. You gave out confidential information of an employee's contract before it had been signed by the board or the district's attorney. You gave it to your wife, who then sent it out to others with no regard to the ramifications it could cause to this district. Chair Scholes has the entire package. At the last meeting, you went through a litany of things you said Mr. Huebner was not doing, and you stated it again in a newspaper opinion piece. I would like to know, if he had no experience, why did you vote to hire him? The board only interviewed two people. The most qualified is what we were led to believe, and now you say he has no experience. Why do you feel it is appropriate to do what, in some sense, seemed like an employee review in a public arena? Is that not done in closed session? I find it puzzling that you state Mr. Huebner is not doing his job in regards to writing a job description or upholding the district policy package. Yet, Mr. Hill, you made a motion in October to allow Mr. Huebner 6 months to complete the task, and the six-month mark is in April, not in January. Mr. Gerhardt not only has to do his own job, he then has a pile of records requests he has to follow through on, including one from Mr. Hill on a Sunday night, asking for all kinds of stuff by 11 a.m. Monday the next day for his wife to pick up. I think we should give Mr. Huebner a little more than 2 or 3 hours to get a request for board members, mostly when Mr. Hill, you were at work and could not read them until you got home. This is the stack of papers, 3/4 of an inch. When I requested 3-month period of emails between Julie Tacker, Jim Hill, and Gerhardt Huebner. If you look on the second page there, you'll see the type of requests that were being made. Most of them from Ms. Tacker, costing this district in time and money, mostly because it has to go past attorneys first. Mr. Hill, you're aware there is an investigation in the process because of a claim, a resident claims that she was threatened by an employee of the district. Again, is this not confidential information? I don't feel it is appropriate to be stating anything in the press until the investigation is over. I think it was inappropriate for you to state your personal view of the situation as well. I believe Mr. Huebner has an ethical obligation to look into such allegations. It seems as if Mr. Huebner is damned if you do, damned if you don't, and can't win for losing with you. I think you may be adding to the tensions that are occurring at the district, and I'd like to see that stop. You also stated in an article that you have so far attempted to facilitate better relationships between Mr. Huebner and the operators. When did the board vote to have you mediate with employees and management? As a board member, I believe that could cause conflict of interest. What is going to cost this district if we get rid of Mr. Huebner? Will we be able to find the knowledge and 30 years experience he brings to this district and someone else? What will it cost us in headhunter fees? And is there anybody who's going to be willing to walk into this hornet's nest? Mr. Hill, you are failing the residents of the sanitation district, in my opinion, with your actions, bias, and inability to work with the board as a whole at all times. I can no longer tell who is setting policy when it comes to my representative. Is it Julie Tacker, your wife Lynn, you, or a combination of all? I have been to your house many, many times. I've witnessed how the machinery works, and yes, I fell victim to the inner workings. You are an elected official. You are supposed to hold yourself to a higher standard because you do represent our city and because you are the mayor. Mr. Hill, you have done some great things for this district, but they're getting lost in all the other stuff that is being done. I ask that you start working as a team player so this district can move forward in a harmonious and professional manner. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon, and I wanted to go on record that I live in Halcyon, so I have septic, but my mother owns several properties in Arroyo, and I'm representing her. She's not feeling well this week. So I had two things I wanted to talk about. Aside from the ethics allegations, I hope that the board doesn't spend a lot of time going backwards and talking about Mr. Wallace or the Knudsen Report, et cetera, because essentially that is in the hands of the district attorney now. So I don't see any reason to keep looking back. It's a waste of time at this point. You got to deal with more important things. Water, number one. The second thing I wanted to mention was that Mr. Clemens came to the Arroyo Grande City Council, I believe it was his 24th, and he said he was from Oceano and that he worked at the sanitation district. But I'm concerned because if you're there as a private citizen or whatever you are, I think that needs to be stated. And he essentially talked about himself, about, you know, what's been accomplished in the last 4 years and how much money, et cetera, et cetera. Well, to me, it sounded like he's promoting himself. And if he's promoting himself, he is not working for the success of the district as a whole. I think the district needs to speak with one voice, and I believe that should be the general manager. So I don't know. I would like to see in the future anything about that be stated clearly. If he's representing the sanitation district, then that needs to be stated. If he's representing himself, just as I went on record for myself. So I'm wishing for success for the district, and I think that should be the mission of the board. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Okay, enough sniping. Let's move forward. Let's get this thing rolling, and let's work towards the projects that you guys have on board. And let's let the district manager or the manager prove himself and do something. But let's quit sniping. Let's move forward, you guys. You got your job. You know what you're supposed to do. Is there anyone else?
Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it to the public. And I believe Director Hill. You have the floor.
Yeah, I was chastised for making records requests, which I have every right as a director to do. And any time that it's necessary for me to have records of the districts, I will make requests of those as necessary. So.
Okay. Then do you have anything?
Well, I do find that these latest things going on quite troubling, and in particular the CalCoast News articles where Director Hill was talking disparagingly about the staff, and I just don't see the purpose of a director here, a mayor of Arroyo Grande, to go onto the news sources and demean the plant superintendent, the plant administrator, talking about failing to produce the job description. We know that's being done, and so this is not truthful. It's out to the public, and it just reflects poorly on this district when, like we say, we're trying to move forward. And criticizing the board that you are representing is just, like I said last week, counterproductive. It serves no purpose. And the confidentiality thing, I have great concerns about that, because if we don't have confidentiality, we don't really, you know, how is anyone going to be confident in, like, any employee, their personnel, anything? How can we be confident that what you expect is confidential stays confidential? And I'm very concerned about that and about closed session, so I don't know what to do. Moving forward, that's exactly what I wanted to do, what we talked about doing, but until we can get on the same page and support our staff, I don't see, I just don't know what we're going to do until we can all work together, and that's what I'd hoped for from the beginning. And all this sniping, yeah, but it's not coming from you know, it's coming from a board member through the news. And it's not true. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. I didn't realize this was board member comment, but I would like to respond to that also.
You have a floor, Jim.
First of all, the subject job description, the board directed that it be delivered as soon as possible, no later than 6 months. And moving to continuously delay that and deliver it on, you know, 5 months and 30 days is not meeting the board's intention that that be delivered expeditiously. With respect to confidentiality, I have great respect for confidentiality rules. And my issue is that numbers of times I've seen closed sessions and other such quote-unquote confidential issues be used by this board in this district to camouflage and obfuscate things that were not in the benefit of the district and the ratepayers, and I think some of that's come to fruition with the charges that have been brought by the district attorney. So I stand by what I released and was published in Cal Coast News. There's nothing there that's demeaning about anyone, and it's factual. So, again, I stand by that.
Okay, so everyone's had their comments, and I will say Mr. Arnoldson and I don't agree on a lot of things, but I agree that we need to move forward, but we need to make sure we do this in a professional and fair manner. And I think I've always said that. So we're going to move forward on this agenda, and let's do what's in the best interest of the ratepayers in this district. So we're going to move on to our consent agenda. There are four items on the consent agenda, and they are approval of the minutes of the meeting of December 21st, 2016, they are approval of minutes from the meeting of January 4th, 2017. The third is approval of warrants, and the fourth is financial review at December 31st, 2016. Do any board members want to pull any items from consent tonight?
No.
Number 5A and 5B, please.
Okay. So 5A and 5B, okay. So let's do this. We're going to pull those off of consent, and let's see if, so we're going to keep items 5C and 5D on consent. Let's see if there's anyone in the audience that would like to speak to the consent agenda. This is items 5C and D.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And as far as the warrant packet goes, a couple of thoughts I had. I'm outraged by the high legal bills. I thought we were getting out of the legal business. Apparently, we're keeping others well fed that are in the legal business. The small invoice for Jessica Mattson, I have to assume, is a rewrite of the postcard. I've looked at the postcard on the website, and in Mr. Huebner's report, I'm sure he'll explain that it's loaded on the website, but he doesn't say whether he's going to reissue it to the island neighbors. There are the corrections that I pointed out to your board, and that previous postcard was in error and had several errors, making it erroneous. That's the nature of the word. So the corrected version needs to get to the people who are affected by the project the most. I didn't see an invitation for tours as was specified by then Director Mary Lucy, but I hope you continue to communicate with those neighbors. With regard to the financials, I think you are looking to be running over budget on some items.
So, Julie, are you commenting on that? Okay. You're good.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No problem. I think you need to maybe get a status report on where you are with your budget. Most agencies have a mid-year budget review, and I think it's time to look at your legal, making some sort of adjustment for what's gone on, but looking at the health of the budget and how it's going to play out. So I'll be back for the other items.
Very good. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me bring this back to the board. And, Gerhard, there was the question regarding the corrections on the postcard. And can you just give us an update on where we are with that?
I made the corrections. I looked at the postcard. I don't feel it was erroneous. One of the dates had passed, and the initial information regarding the volume of discharge was correct, including increased strength of the secondary redundancy project. Nevertheless, I updated it to clarify it perhaps a little bit more in terms of dry weather and wet weather flow, and I changed the date on the permitting to mid-2017, and I uploaded that postcard.
Okay, very good. And do any board members have any questions or comments on the financial review? I know that they were kept on the consent agenda, so I just want to give you an opportunity again to see if there's any questions on that.
I have no questions. Okay. I think the idea of a mid-year budget review is one we should address.
I think we typically would do that, correct?
We have that planned in the near future. I've talked with Ms. Simpson. It's in progress, but we want to make sure that we have. Typically what lagged a little bit in January is the expenses for December, and if December 31st is the day we close the books. So we'll be working on that, and we may have it for your February 15th. If not, it will be on your March 1st meeting.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we have two items on consent. Is there someone prepared to make a motion on items 5C and 5D?
I'll make a motion that we approve item 5C, approval of warrants, and 5D, the financial review.
Noting that the attorney's costs are already spent, I will second the motion.
Okay, very good. There's a motion and a second, and I think we can do this on a voice vote. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. All right, let's move to item 5A. This is approval of minutes of the meeting of December 21st, 2016. Jim, I think you had asked for this item to be pulled.
Yeah, there's on the 15th. Let's see, December 21st minutes. I still have an issue with the majority of the board did not direct staff to expedite the schedule for updating the personnel policy manual and job descriptions. That is accurate in the aggregate, but it is not accurate with respect to the Operator 3 qualification, where we did ask for an expedited job description. Miscellaneous written communications, a letter was put in from a constituent, but other letters were not attached. And there's a list of names of people who submitted the letters, but their letters were not attached. And it seems to me that I can't approve this unless they are attached as we requested. I don't understand why one person's letter would be attached and not everyone else's. So.
Okay.
For the fourth, that talks about, again, approval of the minutes of the 21st. And it said, ask that the minutes be amended, include the names of individuals who submitted the letters in response, and actually the request was to include copies of the material. So.
That it?
That is it.
Legal counsel, I'm just, Lynn, do you have any questions?
No.
So I'm curious, is it
customary to attach letters to minutes? I don't know if I've necessarily seen that in other organizations, and I'm just wondering if maybe if we shouldn't have attached one if we didn't attach them all, or we should not attach any of them. So I'm just going to...
Good evening, Chair and board members. It is really up to each individual district. If the recommendation, of course, would be if you attach one, you should attach all,
right,
or don't attach any. And many jurisdictions do not include letters attached as part of the minutes, but they would include a reference that the board has received a letter from this person.
I would just remind the board that the original letter... The original, that letter was included part of the agenda packet, didn't come in. So that's typically what I have my experience and how we've handled it in the past.
Okay.
And I think typically other letters could be attached to the agenda packet, but since they weren't, it would be appropriate to attach them to the minutes.
Okay, let me open this up to the public.
Julie Tacker, and I want to go in reverse order on these minutes in that the January 4th meeting, your board directed that the letters be attached and your board agreed to hold the minutes of December 21st until they were attached. And they're not. So very simply, the direction wasn't followed. And only the names were listed. And only the names who wrote the letters were listed, but your board also asked that the article that was submitted by Mr. Arnoldson be included, that was also on the table that night. So I don't know why there's any hesitation to add public records to public records. That seems like something really ridiculous. But I would ask at this point, because you have now two sets of minutes that are incomplete, hold them again until the letters are included, because they will get lost because you haven't attached them and put it to bed. So I would ask that you hold both sets of minutes until they're both corrected to reflect the inclusion of the letters. And if they don't get included, I'll bring them back. I'll bring them back and ask them to be attached to the next set of minutes, this set of minutes. It's, you want to play games? We can play games, but that's ridiculous. So I'd prefer you just have them attached, follow the direction that was given at the last meeting.
Is anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me bring it back to the board and
move to table these two items.
You have any further direction on that, Jim? Is that
until we get the copies that were requested?
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second? I'm going to second this motion because if we've said attach them, let's go ahead and attach the letters. I don't really know what we'll have to talk about this going forward, because I don't recall ever being part of any organization where we were attaching things to minutes.
It's not been my experience.
But I think, but in light of the board direction, let's do that. Let's come back. Let's attach the letters. And then we'll have a further discussion. That's why I'm going to second this motion. So, with that, let's do roll call.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Schultz?
Yes. Okay, so that was one set of minutes. Or were you made the motion on both?
That's for both.
Okay. Thanks for that. Let's move on. This is action items, and this is item 6A. Let's do proposal to install new flooring at the district administrator's district administration and control building. Mr. Huberman, are you giving this staff report?
Mr. Clemens, would you like to present this item?
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Good evening, Chairman Schultz and Board. Staff is recommending that that the board enter to an agreement not to exceed $29,000 with one vendor for installation of a new tile floor in the district administration operations building. As the board remembers, we had a there was an inspection and an environmental inspection, and one of the recommendations was that we remove the carpet and replace it with tile for hygiene purposes. After that, staff went out and solicited six different local flooring companies. We got a response from two. We began at the beginning, at the end of November, I believe, or the beginning of December. We gave everyone time to respond. We got two responses, one from Moose's Tiling and one from Angelo's Flooring Service. We got two of the proposals are attached. You'll note that the one from Angelo's is a little more complete than the one from Moose's Tiling. I had I believe the district administrator also, we had a verbal conversation with Moose's, and so that we're asking him at this point to give us more detailed accounting of what he's charging. Obviously, his charge, if you look at it, is $25,000. It looks like less than Angelo's, but we're not 100% sure that it would include all those things. As we look at Angelo's flooring offer or proposal, it looks more like $29,000 to begin with. So obviously we'll go with the less expensive one, but we want to be sure that if we're going with the less expensive one, it is comparable to the other bid. So all things considered, we expect to pay somewhere in the neighborhood of $29,000, and we're just asking the board at this point, until we can get a little more clarification, to again authorize the administrator to enter into agreement not to exceed $29,000 with either Angelo's or either Moose's flooring company.
Very good. Any questions of staff? Jim?
I'm curious. So the reason that we wanted to replace the carpet with tile is, and I apologize because this is coming to me as I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I haven't had a chance to contact staff about this earlier. But the reason for that is basically hygiene, such that we don't have what bacteria on the carpet and that sort of thing, and make it easier to clean. And so with that, I'm wondering about a number of things, grout, such as that. Also the necessity of having the floor or the subfloor, which is concrete as I understand it, to be ground flat so that the tile doesn't tend to crack. And I recall that the police station in Arroyo Grande had an epoxy put on the floor as a covering, which is easy to clean. I don't know what the cost of it is related to tile, but it's even, and there's nothing like grout lines or things like that in it that might be an issue as far as cleaning in the future. So I just wondered if that might be another alternative that could be investigated. It's not clear to me, for example, it says grinding of the floor is not included in the one bid. The one bid says that it's got a cove base and effectively a baseboard, which would also be tile. So that, you know, doesn't look unreasonable to me at all, but I just wondered if again, if we should possibly allow more if grinding and such is needed, or if we've looked into epoxy or some other coating that could be applied.
Okay, with regard to epoxy, I just hadn't looked at that possibility, so certainly that's something that can be looked into. Also, with the grinding, in talking to, I use his name, Moose, that's what I'm familiar with, in talking to the contractor with Moose's Custom Tile, they verbally said that that would all be included in the $25,000. And so we've, again, asked them to put that in writing if that's true. With obviously with Angelo's, they state clearly that if there's grinding required, then that will be an extra cost. Looking visually at our floors, you can see that they're uneven. So I am not a tile guy, so I'm not 100% sure whether it's grinding or filling or whatever they would do to try to make it even. I know that the size of the tile is a factor and those type of things. Again, you know, for our purposes, Moose has said that he would do all and everything it takes for the $25,000. Angelo's has said that they, I mean, again, their estimates are clearly stated, and they've said that, again, it's roughly $26,000 to install a tile, another $2,000 to $6,000 for the baseboards, and then there would be an additional charge for grinding. So if it turns out that's a similar price for Moose, then yeah, it appears that we'll need more than $29,000, because looking at Angelo's, it's starting at around $29,000, and the likelihood that we'll
26.
It's 26, but if you look at the baseboard charges, which then you're starting at somewhere around $29,000 to begin with, and so it would likely be more than $29,000.
Comments to add, when I did get the quote, if you look at the staff report, I had a hard time doing an apples and apples comparison.
Yeah.
And yes, Moose's is less, but in contract and in my world, having to match invoice with product and holding the vendor to what they said they were going to do, having an allowance didn't make me comfortable. The other one said 2,200 square feet. Moose's doesn't have a square footage. One says how many rooms. So we engage them in conversation. We wanted to move forward today because we want to move forward with this project to continue to make progress on our remodel. And so we've asked today for a little bit of flexibility to ask some of these questions and clarify, do we need to have grinding? Some say they don't need it. They looked at it. Personally, getting less grout. Grout lines is better. I worked with my uncle was a tile setter, my cousin's a tile setter, bigger tiles would be better. All those things are factors that we want to make this a successful project.
Lynn, do you have any questions?
Well, we'll definitely need to have a complete, much more complete breakdown with the Moose.
Yes.
And the same, is it the same tile that he's talking about, the same?
Well, they brought in two types of tile, the staff and the administrator. We all looked at it, and for each of them we chose out of the tiles that they had brought in. So I don't know that they're exactly the same, but each one was
the same
given.
Quality.
Yeah, the same quality. It's roughly the same quality.
Moose was a slightly smaller tile. The other one was bigger. He quoted us at $4 a square foot. That's how I did my math. They take 8,000, divide it by 4. Dollar square foot gives you 2,000 square feet, and so we'd be 200, potentially 200 square feet short. So
again, I think that what we're asking is that if we can get an authorization for the board to contract, then and the board can trust us to kind of work further through the details with either Moose or Angelo's. That's what we're shooting at, so we can get it done as quickly as possible.
So, Gerhard, so I'm going to go on the assumption then that you both are in agreement that these are two qualified companies. We just need to get more details, and then you'll select which one.
Yes. We feel they're both qualified. They both have a reputation. Some of the staff know Moose's. I don't know either of these firms. They're licensed.
We just need to have more specificity.
Okay, and this would be a not to exceed contract, so anything over 29,000, you would both come back to the sport.
Yeah,
you thought it would be over 29,000 though, maybe, right? Then you'd come back if it. We'll say 29,000 now, and then you'll. If there's something comes over, then you'll ask.
We could come back to you, or you could today, if you think perhaps even a higher amount, if you want to give us some flexibility, we would still shoot for the lowest bid, and of course, right. Anything below that would retain at the district in terms of cost savings.
Okay. And then as spelled out in the staff report, we had budgeted 20,000, so we would need to take funds from contingency, correct?
That is correct. We have that remaining within that budgeted line item. That's what's remaining in the account. And so to augment it for this particular project, we're recommending today utilizing our contingency. You've only utilized, I believe, about 2,000 of that. 100,000 was set aside. So there's a considerable amount still available.
Very good. Thank you. Let me open this up to the public and see if there's anyone from the community that would like to address this item.
Hattie Welsh. I've had a fair amount of tile work done in my house. I've had some of my cement ground down. Years later, I'm still trying to get all the dust off walls and everything else. It's really insidious. What I have done now is they put down a fracture membrane that they trowel on. And then any settling of your house or anything else, it helps keep the tile from breaking. So I just want to say, you know, that might be an option instead of doing the grinding of your floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty. Is there anyone else?
Ron Holt, Arroyo Grande. I do building maintenance, and I don't know what the reason for selecting tile over a vinyl flooring, which would be easier to clean. Maybe there may be some durability issues, but that's a good heavy-duty vinyl tile might be, or vinyl flooring might be significantly cheaper, and it would not have as much of an issue with uneven flooring as tile. Tile does do that. If it's not pretty very very close to level, they crack. Get some or separate at the grout. So, I think that I don't know if there's a reason for not going there, but it's something that might be wanted to be considered on that.
Thank you, Mr. Holt. Is there anyone else?
Julie Tacker, and I just added up the three separate estimates from Angelo's. And they total $35,000. So if you're going to give the staff the flexibility to make decisions, I think your cap probably should be $35,000. And then they don't have to come back to you. Let them get the job done. My recollection, I recently toured the facility, and you just did a bathroom remodel and put in flooring in there. And I don't see from either of these descriptions that they match. Are we going to try to match them? Are we going to replace the bathroom to be matching the new? I just don't know. And it was the men's room. I've been in the Madonna Inn men's room, too. But it just seems like you should give them the flexibility to get the job done, and this is really a no-brainer.
Is there anyone else?
Ron Arnelson, everybody's putting their 2 cents in, so here we go. I think Mr. Hill had a pretty good idea about looking into the concrete covering. If you'll notice, California Cool and Spartan Final have both gone away from any type of floor covering. They've got concrete that's covered with a covering like an epoxy, or probably not epoxy, but a stain. It's easy to keep clean. Very inexpensive. It doesn't have to be replaced. It's a great alternative, and if you got a couple of extra minutes or time there, it might be another alternative to look into.
Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward.
Yeah. Go ahead,
is there a reason why it's ceramic tile and you didn't look at the heavy-duty vinyl?
Just long-term durability, attractiveness, ease of cleaning that, and that's typically everybody's moving first time. It's just as simple as that.
And it's the big, well, yeah, the big squares, because the bigger the better.
That would be my preference, but if the staff agrees or that's where we go, we go with the smaller tile if that's what we had to do.
I think the bigger is better.
One of the reasons we looked at tile, because what we have in place right now is tile, and the tile that they did have in place in the other areas, it's lasted pretty good. We don't have any cracks, so we were looking at what's worked and what's there. That's kind of why we were looking at tile.
Okay.
And to answer another question, we will not be changing out the tile in the men's bathroom. It's going to remain the same, and they were not going to touch the men's bathroom floor. So.
Okay. Someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
Well, I'm prepared to make a motion that we give an allowance of $35,000 so they can deal with the two tile people and get the job done.
Okay, there's a motion. I'll second that. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, do a roll call.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Schultz?
Yes. Okay, let's move on to item 6B. This is the purchase of a replacement diesel fuel tank. Mr. Huebner.
I'll let Mr. Clemens, if he'd like, to present this item.
Yes, sir. The staff is recommending that the Board approve the purchase of a replacement 2,000-gallon Mosier Brothers diesel fuel tank from J.B. DeWar for the price of $12,375. The current tank is over 20 years old. I tried to look in the records to get the exact age, but I couldn't. Our current fuel tank is over 20. Let me clarify. It's our above ground diesel storage tank, which we stored diesel fuel for our emergency generator, just to be clear. And the thing's over 20 years old. It's almost rusted through in a couple of spots. It was due for a change, I believe, in 2012. It was on the schedule. We budgeted $10,000 this year to change it out. It looks like our price from J.B. DeWar is $375. We did originally solicit quotes from three different vendors. We got two vendors to respond, J.B. DeWar and EnvironSafe. The J.B. DeWar quote was $12,375. The quote from EnvironSafe for a similar tank was $11,937. However, the tank from EnvironSafe would not fit in the current space that we have, so that kind of made that decision easier. $300 or $400 difference, but we'd have to change out or reconfigure the concrete and everything around there. So, with the J.B. DeWar tank, we should be able to slide it right into where the current tank is. Fiscal considerations are: we budgeted $10,000. We budgeted for a lab furnace this year, but our lab analyst is not prepared to part with the current furnace. It works really well, and it's even though it was due to be replaced, it's still serviceable. So we're going to defer that and the media dispenser in the lab also. Again, after conferring with our lab analyst and making sure that she's very comfortable and she wasn't planning on actually buying those things this year, those funds are available to be used to bridge the difference in what was budgeted and what we actually need for this diesel fuel tank. We've included a diagram of the tank. So that's the report. If you'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
Okay, any questions of staff? Lynn, you want to go first?
It's just 4 feet off the ground? Or no?
The tank?
How far off the ground is it? It's above
the bottom of the tank.
It just sits on a stand, right?
Yeah, it just sits on the stand.
It's not on the kind that you see up.
No, it's not above. It'll be a you know, when I'm looking at it, it won't even be higher than mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jim?
I think this is very reasonable. Obviously, we would have a concern about environmental effects of a tank that's rusting through, and it seems to be a reasonable purchase. I'm prepared to support it with, unless the public has other concerns.
Okay. Gerhard, let me just ask you just the logistics of budgeting. So I know that the recommendation is that we defer the lab furnace and the lab media dispenser to the next fiscal year. Are we able to repurpose those dollars, or would we need to take the additional funds out of contingency?
We would not in this proposal. You could certainly leave these funds, and if for some reason Fannie decided to change her mind and came forth, or the lab furnace for some reason went down, we would have those funds.
Right.
This is just prudent budgeting in the sense we have line items, we have a certain amount, we'd like to live within those allocations, and we look at our list, and of course in budgeting you project, you plan what you think is replaced. In this case, staff came back and said, we think we can defer those for a couple months, included in the next year's budget, and so that additional money. You could certainly, your board also has certainly the option of leaving these in the schedule and taking the money out of contingency.
Very good.
We would support either way.
Okay, very good. Is there anyone from the community that would like to address the item before the board? Wow. Seeing no one come forward, let me close it. Someone prepared to make a motion on this item?
Yes, I'll move that we accept the staff recommendation and approve purchase of a 2,000-gallon Mosher Brothers diesel fuel tank from JB Dealer for the amount of $12,375.
I'll second it.
Okay, there's a motion and a second, and I'm going to certainly support this motion, and I appreciate staff on the fiscal considerations and giving those board those options, and nice to see you guys working together. So with that, let's do a, I think we can, there's no resolution. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. All right, let's move on to item number 7. This is the district administrator and the plant superintendent's report. Mr. Huebner.
Thank you, Chair Scholes, directors, members of the public. This is our standing report, the district administrator and plant superintendent report. You'll notice I've revamped or refreshed the report a little bit since the last time, and tried to hopefully make it more readable and more user-friendly. But as usual, I'll start with our major capital projects and our studies. Just a note, as I mentioned at the last meeting, we do anticipate hearing either getting a permit or that a permit will not be issued, a stream bed alteration agreement from Department of Fish and Wildlife by the end of this month. And with that, we've held off on the final design and spec bid package because we didn't want to incur costs that would have to be revised because of a new special condition that Fish and Game might impose on the project. So that was purposeful. Once it comes in on February 27th, we fully intend to engage our engineer to provide us with the final bid package cost estimates and then be able to move forward with putting that out for bid. And then hopefully moving forward with that project likely early summer. Our grit removal system, of course, we're very proud of the completion of that, and it's operational and functioning very well. We've passed the 15-day operational period. We're doing, and your warrant registered today. Thank you. We approved the final payment. We're doing the final paperwork. And really the last thing that's remaining is the final drawings that we expect from MKN shortly. Oh, we've also received the manuals, which is noted. Our mechanical bar screen, still on schedule. Continue to engage both our engineering firm and their engagement with the contractor to find out when the parts will arrive. They are being manufactured. We have no information to know otherwise, but the indications are is the project is still on schedule, and once the parts arrive, they'll move to install them. On our redundancy project, I've broken it now out so that you can clearly see that we, within this big project, you have design, you have permitting. In this case, the significant permitting is the Coastal Commission. I have some good news to report. You'll see a letter that we prepared, sent on January 24th, last week, and requesting an update on our CDP application. We've been a bit concerned because calls that we had made and emails we had made were not being returned, found out that, as I suspected, they had a fair amount of work and other projects in the queue. They had not forgotten about us, and in fact had called me, and you'll see that in the second bullet, where the staff had a couple questions, was able to answer it. They're still looking for some information on our centrifuge building and whether it was permitted in the past. We're researching that, trying to find the files and information. But the long and short is they've deemed the application complete for them to process, and they've given us a tentative target date of their May meeting, which is May 10th through the 12th. They are not scheduled to have an April meeting. That's the reason why. Wouldn't have been an earlier date. That being said, and it's good news, I'll use the analogy since we've got the Super Bowl coming up. We're kind of on a little past the 50-yard line, maybe the 25-yard line. We need a touchdown. We need everybody to row together and have support. So we'll be doing that in the intervening months, preparing for the hearing, because, of course, even with the favorable staff recommendation, it's the commission, and we will need a majority of the commission to vote on our CDP application. And so, again, I just want to emphasize we really do need to have as much support as we can to get us past the final hurdle and into the end zone. Just a related note on the financing, we continue to gauge Bartle Wells with an expected draft financial package, hopefully within the next 30 days, if not sooner. Moving on to our facilities study grant, as you know, we had a workshop on this item at your last board meeting, considered, as I mentioned before, a milestone, and as I mentioned at the City of Aurora Grande at their council meeting, I presented jointly with city staff as well as WSC, our consultants. I think it was well received by the council. I'll let Mayor Hill weigh in on how he felt the dialogue went, but at least the feedback that I wrote down was very favorable in terms of not only the presentation and the slides, but wanting to move to the next stage in terms of perhaps environmental review, jointly with PISMO, perhaps working on the regional groundwater sustainability project, and so forth. District administration building, well, we've already discussed that with the flooring item, so there I don't really have much to add other than we do have some new chairs to replace the ones in the employee break room. Regarding some of our programmatic initiatives, we already talked about the flyer and the postcard and that being updated as requested at the last board meeting and being reposted at the district website. Regarding record management, staff has completed an administrative draft. We use a template from the Oceana Community Service District. Thank you. They had done a complete overhaul, and so we're piggybacking on some of the legal work that they did. Of course, we'll be augmenting and adapting it for our use. Hopefully moving forward. Now with the recent Wallace investigation, some of our records are perhaps maybe at the DA's office. We'll have to investigate that. That's delaying us a bit. And we're also looking to bring perhaps some expertise because we want to do the record management correctly. And we hope to bring a policy before you, hopefully sometime at one of your April meetings. Regarding our personal policy manual update, we've been working diligently. I've been working with our HR consultant, Alicia Lara, met with her almost half a day yesterday. I think it was just Tuesday. We're making good progress. In fact, we think we'll be about 6 weeks ahead of our schedule, realizing, of course, we do have to vet it through the union reps, but we hope to give a preview to the board in the near future. We've also worked on the job descriptions. We've had the employees, staff take a look and provide us some survey results in terms of their job duties and tasks. That's been compiled, and our HR consultant is taking a look at the results. and strategic planning. We did have intent to have a workshop today. We postponed it for a couple weeks due to some of the recent news. We just felt it was prudent to weigh mm-hmm. a little bit on that. We're also still collecting, our consultant is collecting some of the interviews and survey results, including from staff. I'm going to be working with you on when the good day to reschedule that will be in the near future. And then there, you'll see a new one here that I've put on here, which doesn't always get a lot of attention or perhaps appreciation, but is a very important component of what the district does. So Ms. Simpson and I have been working for our fiscal audit. So we had our auditors in for several days in the month of January. Of course, they always have requests, provide that information on a timely basis. They have indicated to us that they'll hopefully have a draft audit to us mid to late February. Of course, we then look at that. There'll be some recommendations, or they may have some findings. Again, we hope to have that to you for discussion, for your review, final audit, perhaps as early as first meeting in March or the mid-March. We also needed to complete the pension, the GASB 68 accounting report. We've solicited quotes, got the same individual that helped us with our post-employment retirement evaluation. That was very helpful to us, too, because he was knowledgeable of the district's finances, and he was able to make the timeline. The auditors will not be able to complete the report without this piece, and so we were in real time been able to engage them and get that information and that report completed. And then I want to mention Amy worked very hard on the form, the 1099s. These are the ones that go out to the vendors and need to be done per the tax season. So that was much appreciated. I'll conclude. You can see the regional collaboration and list of meetings that I've either participated on. Specifically, I moved the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project, and they've invited me to review their EIRs, the proposals, which is on my task list to complete this week. I wasn't able to participate on Monday. I appreciate that they're including us in that effort. You'll see there's a number of meetings, a few here and there, that I was able to participate and a few that I was not due to other commitments of the board. So you can read that for yourself, and if you have any questions, feel free to ask me. So that's a pretty lengthy report today. A lot of things are going on. As usual, sometimes, of course, because a meeting lapse, there's more to report, and sometimes with our project and our initiatives, there's things that we seed and report you'll see more effort in versus one meeting versus another. That's just the nature of how either big projects work or some of our initiatives. I will conclude and turn it over to Mr. Clemens for his superintendent.
So let me hold there. Thank you for that thorough report, and there is a lot going on, and we are making progress. So thank you for that. Let's see if there's any questions of Mr. Huebner. Linda, do you have any questions?
No.
Jim?
No.
Okay. Gearhart, the Coastal Commission meeting in May, that's going to be in San Luis County, right? Is that up on the North Coast?
No, it'll actually be, they relayed it'll be in San Diego.
It will be in San Diego. Okay. Because I think you were talking about getting support out. And
the support
makes
can
it a
come
challenge.
It can be written support as well. Of course, having folks that can travel down would be even better. But
okay. I know there's a train that goes from here, from Grover Beach, to San Diego.
I've used it.
Okay, very good.
It's a good way to go.
Mr. Clemens, you have the floor.
Good evening once again, board. During this reporting period, January 1st through 24th is when we had to have the information in for the report. The plan continues to meet its permit limitations as required by the state in our MPDES permit. Obviously, it was a January was real different from anything that's happened since I've been here. We had a lot more water. A lot of folks had asked a lot of questions about since 2010, if we had something comparable, how the plant would hold up. And in early January, we did have some things that were comparable. We had nearly 3 inches of rain on our rain gauge in the day's time, and that was really comparable. The good news is that the plant did stand up, that we didn't face any significant challenges other than getting the water through the plant and treating it to a decent degree. During that time, and I'm going over this because, again, I had received a whole lot of questions about what would happen if it rained as much at the plant. During the time where we typically take in 2.2 million gallons of water, on some of those days, we took over 3 million gallons, or 3.5 million gallons in. We reached influent flow rates of 6.8 million gallons per day as a rate, where we typically, it was 10 o'clock at night, so we typically are around a rate of 2 million gallons a day at that time. So we were taking on a rate of three times what we typically would take on. Again, all those things say, all those things were just, for us, it was an opportunity to see what our plant can do under stress, since it hadn't been under that circumstance. And we had a one BOD influent, a BOD rate of a reading of 662 milligrams per liter. The plant was built for 250 milligrams per liter influent strength. So, again, we were at over double the expected or design influence strength, and our BOD for that particular test, our final measure of waste strength came out to be 43 milligrams per liter for that particular test. So in that case, the plant removed like 96% of the waste strength. So again, with increased rate, with increased flow, the plant continues to perform well, I guess is the bottom line. We were able to, it was very wet. The team was running around. They did a really good job of covering where there's a few things that went on. We had some things that tried to break down on us. Our staff would go in and make sure that those things worked properly. Again, some groundwater pumps weren't pumping fast enough at certain times, and we get alarms in the middle of the night and all those type of things. Again, with the response of the team and the readiness of the plant, none of that seemed to be anything that this district and this plant can't overcome, even in a real trying weather. So really proud of our staff, and really really proud of the plant, if I can say that. It's an inanimate object, but it held up to, again, some extreme stress without any problems. I know that a lot of agencies around us also had minor spills in their sewer system, which, again, in that type of rain is totally expected. And in our plan, our district didn't have that, and we didn't have any breakdowns. We didn't have any failures. We made it through it.
So. If I could interject, I'd like to echo that. There was a lot of nervous persons, including myself. The preparation ahead of time, we went through quite a few drills. The kudos to Mr. Clemens and the staff. Put them in the ringer in terms of what's the contingency, what are we going to do, stockpile. As you know, we did get significant rain. Some made it equivalent to even the 2010 event. There was very little standing water, from my understanding, except over by the parking lot near the headworks, but not at the headworks. Nothing of significant depth. Again, plant handled flows that haven't experienced in probably a decade, maybe 2010, and they reached as high as 6.4, maybe 7.
Yeah, closer to 7.
When you compare that to 2.2, 2.3, which is what we typically have. So triple the amount. Plan came through with flying colors, and we were happy to report, even watching from Ventura County, that when I saw article about a sewer spill. It was somebody else's plant.
Okay, so
sorry,
no, that's oh, that's
to interrupt.
No, that's good additional information, John.
We're all excited about how we did. Again, it was until you go into that, you don't know. We know what happened in 2010. We hadn't seen that type of water since. We finally got that water. We did well. We're kind of stoked about it. So that's from the administrator all the way through everyone in our staff. We're all kind of happy. With regard to operations and maintenance, we replaced our motor drive belt, installed a new slip ring on our FFR. We cleaned the surface of our FFR, our fixed film reactor. I had to change the timer runtime on our Amiot filters with the flow water. That was a filtration system, so obviously we had to change the runtime because we had a lot more water going through and the filter was getting clogged a lot quicker. We inspected the levee near the plant. We found a flap gate wedged open. At that time, we notified the Slo County staff so they could get in there and close that gate. That was right before the rains, actually. We cleared primary clarifier scum hopper, installed bollards at a water well near the fence line to protect the well. We removed and replaced our distributor arm drive motor on our fixed film reactor. We had to do some work on that fixed film reactor this month, so that's... we repaired influent wet well level control unit called a Hydro Ranger, installed headworks screening auger, performed hydraulic flush, drained and cleaned chlorine contact chamber, and had to troubleshoot our backup chlorine system and replace a relay and repair an enclosure in that. So, yeah, that's the one thing, even during the rains and all that, all the other stuff still goes on, too. So you get to handle... unconventional things and your normal stuff at the same time. And then we had to clean the street just outside of the front gate. We have the trucks coming in, and there's a dirt lot right across from the plant. Sometimes the trucks cut in a little close, and when the ground is wet, they wedge into that dirt and cause a pool and some mud. And so one of the residents pointed out to us, so we had our staff go out there with our tractor and clean that area as well as we could. And so our solution in the long term is if we were to continue to get trucks at that rate, we'll just have them come in the back gate, then that won't be a concern at all to the neighborhood. With regard to training, staff received our annual briefing on our spill prevention control and countermeasures plan. It's an annual event that's required, actually. Staff attended a training session on hand and power tool safety. We attended a training session on fatal electric shock safety. Myself, Operator Jones, and Operator DeLeon attended a two-day basic electricity training courses. It was conducted by a TrainCo, and it was conducted at the City of Pismo's. Actually, it was the wastewater plant staff, but it was at the city offices in Pismo. Myself and Arias, who's our current shift supervisor, attended a required harassment prevention for staff and elected officials. It was a webinar that is sponsored by our insurer, SDRMA. It's required for all supervisors, managers, administration. And so it's required every 2 years. And so, again, I took it. Right now, Mr. Arias is our supervisor, so I required that he would take it also so that we've met that requirement and received some good training with regard to harassment training. Also, in a more miscellaneous, in the last meeting, we noted that Fannie Mui had received a award of Lab Person of the Year for Tri-County Section of the CWEA. We went down and attended the award ceremony. I attended it. Mayor Hill was there. I think the human resources are, I don't want to say, but...
Carrie Mattingly, she's the utilities director.
Carrie Mattingly, the utilities director, she was down there. And again, she was also present Tuesday. Fannie also received a mayor's commendation from the City of Arroyo Grande in recognition of her receiving that award. So... It was fun to see one of our staff recognized and locally and from people not directly here. So just a note. And with regard to call-outs, we had a reclaimed water low-pressure alarm. Operator Jackman responded. He reset the filter runtime. Again, that filter was clogging up because we had high flow rates. On January 10th, we had influent wet well high-level alarm. Myself and Operator DeLeon responded. We had a level transmitter that was not sending the signal to the pump controller. A troubleshot had our controls guy come out, and we ended up changing out a terminal on the circuit board to make that thing work. Since then, it failed again. I had to replace the whole thing. Got caught on that one, too. We had a burglar alarm in the heating and mixing building. Operator DeLeon responded. It was a very windy night. No evidence of anybody being around. It's probably the wind blew our doors till it finally triggered an alarm, is what we believe. On January 18th, we had a secondary digester sump, high-level alarm. Operator Ron Hill responded. Both pumps were pumping by the time he got there. He waited for both pumps to finally get that sludge. It's a sump between our two sludge digesters where it's kind of a holding tank. And so he waited until the pumps pumped it down, and he reset the alarm and went home. On January 22nd at 6 in the evening, we had a power outage. Again, Operator Ron Hill responded. PG&E power was restored, and we checked the process equipment and reset alarm. What happens is anytime there's a power outage, we are called out. Well, you know, even if the equipment's running, it's not saying the equipment's not running. It's just if we have a power outage, we're called out, and we actually man the plant until power is restored. So as long as the emergency generator's on, we have staff at the plant. And so that's what that was. On January 23rd at 05-something in the morning, we all had another power outage. Operator Realm Hill responded again. At some point, the PG&E power was restored. We checked the process equipment, reset alarm, and went back to business as usual. And that concludes my report. If the board has any questions, I'll be more than happy to answer.
Very good. Thank you, John. Any questions?
No, I congratulate the staff, all the staff, on excellent response during the storms. It was challenging, high winds and a lot of water coming down. So that's, on the one hand, it's a great thing to see the water that hopefully will recharge Lopez. And but I think you guys handled it very well, and I'm proud of the performance as well. One concern I have with the high numbers of water coming in is the infiltration issue, and if we can, you know, maybe we can look at, I don't know whether it takes a board action or what to, you know, measure and kind of look at that infiltration, because, you know, if there's repairs or if there's issues with the manhole covers, or some way that stormwater is basically not supposed to be getting into our system, and in those kinds of quantities, I think it's concerning, and might be if we can measure what's going on there, might be an opportunity to, you know, to kind of head off the problem before and perhaps make some repairs if necessary, or identify where there's water coming into the system unexpectedly that, you know, before it gets to the point where it challenges the plant severely.
Hey, Rick. Let me, if I could just, It's definitely now on our radar. If it wasn't before, it's definitely because we see it as a significant issue. I think initially we're going to use the tools that we have, whether it's manhole investigation or flow meter and measuring flows and determining the sources, what member agency is the likelihood and which ones can we discount. And then you're likely to see for next budget year some type of evaluation and certainly repair or addressing some of those sources when we identify it.
I know years ago there was a project to put some locks on some of the manhole covers because we'd seen, you know, stuff dumped down manholes and things like that. So some of that, was checked at the time, but there may still be things that, you know, may not even require repairs, yeah. Just monitoring of manholes. But whatever it is, I think we need to look into that and kind of get a handle on what's going on.
Great. Thanks, Jim. Linda?
Yes, I, too, would like to thank you, both Director Administrator Huebner and Mr. Clemens, on the great job during the winter storms. And I really appreciate getting this email we got last week where you explained in thorough detail what was going on over at the plant, because it was a sense of anxiety for the people around there. So I really appreciate the great job you guys are doing over there and your crew, too. And you can see you were very busy, and so it didn't go unnoticed.
Very good. Let me open this up to the public and see if there's anyone who'd like to address the report.
Juan Arnoldson, Grover Beach. Actually was the first representative from Grover Beach to this board, and I've listened to a few reports from the superintendent, and Chuck was very good, and so was Jeff, but they're not quite as good as the gentleman you have here, in my opinion. This guy is not only really good at knowing his job, he's proud of his department, proud of his men. As a matter of fact, Mr. DeLeon was in high school when I was on that board. He's a good kid. And I just want to follow up with something that, just kudos to this guy. I really think you've got a good guy and hope that we keep him. And I want to follow up with something he said that a couple of reports ago when I offered to buy a washer and dryer. He's felt a little intimidated to come forward and put my feet to the fire with that, but I still would hold to that. And if that doesn't work for you, I have a friend that sells real estate. They have appliances all the time. Just got rid of a brand new dryer that would have been appropriate. So if you have room and it's something that you guys can work out, if you let me know, we'll get you a washer and dryer one way or the other. And I still hold to that.
Is there anyone else?
Julie Tacker again, and I, call me crazy, but I still would like to see the, was that you, Ron? Thanks a lot. the backup FFR video. I think the fixed film reactor is really the source of our concerns for your district and for your facilities, and I think having some putting our minds at ease by seeing that video and how that system works is still something that should be shown to your board. With regard to Mr. Huebner's report, the regional collaboration and the regional groundwater sustainability project, each of your communities had the opportunity to send a letter to PISMO with some sort of buy-in for the project. I understood that Grover Beach either postponed their contribution. I know Oceano said thanks but no thanks. They did support PISMO going forward. Roy Grande had some amendments. My main concern is getting the sanitation district on the hook for any costs. And I think that discussion needs to take place here sooner as opposed to later. With regard to the strategic planning initiative, I think postponing it is ideal, not for these reasons. I think you have some other fundamental problems at your district that need to be worked out before you start planning a future that's all rosy. The concern I have with that is that your consultant has an out-of-date contract. I don't know if that's been repaired, but I did bring it to the attention of Mr. Hill. The records management project, I don't remember you ever being asking your administrator to come up with a new policy. There's a retention policy. There's retention guidelines from the state. There's requirements. And I think that you should have that discussion see the current policy, see the state's policies, and then decide whether or not you want to revamp the district's policies. And, you know, the whole sum of the idea behind having the trailer was to manage these records. But if you don't have any changes to the policy, or they're very minor, then I don't quite know why we have a trailer. The question about whether or not the postcard was going to go back out to the island never did get answered, just that it's on the website. That doesn't fix it in my mind. And Mayor Scholes, you mentioned the Coastal Commission hearing. 4 months later, they are going to Cambria, so September. Yeah. And it might be prudent that you ask to be delayed until September so that you have the on-the-ground boots support. You may find a recommendation that you're not happy with, and you may need to postpone to September to get some negotiations with the commission staff. We don't know what they're recommending. We haven't seen a staff report to know what they think about your project. And your project has been amended to include many more items. These are things that were done at the plant without permits: floodproofing, grit removal, biosolids lab, the chlorine contact chamber, upgrades to dewatering conveyance, headworks facilities. Mr. Huebner mentioned some others. I think your board needs to look at all of those things. You're amending a permit. I don't know that he showed you what's been amended. And I'd also like the audio, the direction to staff.
I need you to wrap up, Jim.
I'm sorry. Two things. Reinstate the audio back on the on the website. And the last thing, I think the mayor's commendation for Fannie Mui was excellent in Arroyo Grande. And I would ask that each of you do the same thing or the equivalent in your own communities.
Is there anyone else?
Just like clarification, since this washer and dryer got brought up, I thought that the district paid for a laundry service to do the uniforms and stuff of the guys. I'd just like that clarified. Thank you.
Very good. Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me bring it back to the board. You're out on the, there is laundry service, correct? Okay.
Yes, we provide uniform laundry service for our employees.
So then on the records management project, just clarification, you're not recommending a change in policy. What are you?
No. So one of the items that we discussed at the budget was the state of our records. And as you know, they reside in boxes in the C-train, portions of them, and the other portions are reside in other places within the district. The retention policy resides in our operation manual. It's very general. It doesn't have citations. It is not what you would have typically by industry standards. So it needs wholesale upgrade. That's the first step you want to do, because we can't touch those records without your direction and adoption of a policy, in which case then we can finish cataloging and we can, per that retention schedule, purge, digitize, or retain based on that schedule. So it's a stepwise process. As you've heard, records are very, very important long-term for institutional knowledge as well as moving forward. Ideally, I would love this district to be only e-file, essentially just have electronic files that we could then access on our website. That would be the ideal. That would be my one of my visions for the future. That's where other agencies are going. But it starts with the retention policy, or legal counsel will advise you that that's where you go, because then I have the authority to how do we deal with our records moving forward.
Okay, very good. Did you have something, Jim?
Two issues. One, I would agree with the commenter that we put the audio tapes back on the new website. again, I agree with Mr. Huebner that records are very important, and access to them is certainly important to the district for numbers of reasons. With respect to the washer and dryer, the district does provide uniforms, but does that include undergarments, socks, underwear that might be spilled, or where a spill might go through the uniform?
Certainly instances, I'm not aware of instances where it gets to the undergarments. There is a potential, of course, for socks, but then it's an issue of...
So are the uniforms waterproof?
I can't answer that question. I don't know that answer.
Okay, it seems to me that we need one of two things, either because we can't have employees going home if they're splashed and it gets on socks or undergarments, taking that material home to try to clean it. So we need to do one of two things, and that is either provide a washer and dryer such that that can be separately sanitized before the employee leaves, or provide replacement garments for the employees such that they would just take it off the shelf before leaving the site.
I'm just not sure what problem we're trying to fix here. Certainly, if there's issues with undergarments or socks, then my recommendation would be that we just replace those when that occurs. We provide a reimbursement.
That happens
okay.
Fairly regularly.
So let's you know what? We talked about stopping the sniping earlier. We're back on this. This is not productive. So this is just a receive and file. Jim, I do agree with the audio tapes. I think we need to have a conversation about that, how long those are on. But the others, we're not going to.
We are aware of the audio tapes. We've asked our website what the issue was, why it wasn't transferred. That wasn't deliberate. It was just
either. Thank you for that.
Okay. So I think this is a receiving file. We've had some clarification. At this point, we have nothing else. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.